1 Samuel chapter 18 tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 18. As my wife and I were sitting together over dinner tonight, before coming to church this evening, I asked her if she had seen the title of my message. And she said, "Oh yeah. In fact, I think I've given you that look every once in a while." And to her defense, I think all of us have given somebody a look that could kill from time to time in our lives. And tonight we're going to discover a scenario in which this revealed so much about Saul's heart toward David. Thus, the title of the message, "If Looks Could Kill." If looks could kill. 1 Samuel 18, verse number 5, "And David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets of joy and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, 'Saul hath slain his thousands and David his ten thousands.' And Saul was very angry. And the saying displeased him, and he said, 'They have ascribed unto David ten thousands, and to me they have ascribed only thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom?' Here it is. And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hands as at other times. There was a javelin in Saul's hand, and Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will kill David even to the wall with it.' And wisely, David avoided him twice. And Saul was afraid of David." Interesting. "Because the Lord was with him and had departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from his presence and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. And the Lord was with him. Wherefore when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them." As stated in our last sermon, last Wednesday night here at the beginning of 1 Samuel 18, we only looked at the first four verses. We discovered quickly that immediately after David kills Goliath, his popularity reaches celebrity status. In other words, people absolutely loved David. They loved what he had done in slaying Goliath. They loved how he carried himself. The entire nation was in love with David. And that's kind of what 1 Samuel 18 begins to reveal for us. All of these relationships that begin developing because of David's slaying of Goliath. I wrote here in the introductory portion of my notes how that, first of all of Israel loved David. We see that clearly in verse number 5, 1 Samuel 18, verse 5. He was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. In other words, David was no polarizing figure. He wasn't like modern day politicians. Half the crowd like him, half the crowd hate him. No, everybody accepted him. Everybody liked him, even the servants of Saul. We see it again at the end of this text, verse 16. All Israel and all Judah, they loved David. So all of Israel loved David. in the beginning, I wrote down secondly here, that Saul himself also loved David. And I emphasize in the beginning, Saul himself loved David. Look at verse number 2 of chapter 18. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. In other words, he liked him. He loved him. He wanted him to serve him in the kingdom. We see it again in verse number 5. Saul set David up over all the men of war. It gave him a very high position. And we saw a preview of that all the way back in chapter 16. We're in chapter 18 now, but let me read to you 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 21. When the author, the narrator here, gives us a preview of what has unfolded for us in chapters 17 and 18. Verse 21 of chapter 16 says, David came to Saul, stood before him, and Saul, notice this, loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. We're going to see next week that Saul's daughter, Michal or Michal, loved David here in 1 Samuel chapter 18. And Jonathan, of course, the oldest son of King Saul, the crowned prince, he also loved David. In fact, arguably, as we studied last week, no one had a deeper love and respect for David than Jonathan. Verse 1 of chapter 18 says the soul of Jonathan was knit. Remember, we said last week that this placement of Jonathan coming before David in the text here as the narrator is unfolding the story reminds us that it was Jonathan who initiated this friendship. Jonathan initiated this relationship. So Jonathan knit his soul with David in verse number 1. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. We see that repeated in verse number 3 of chapter 18. Jonathan again loved him. He made this covenant with David, and he made this covenant with him because he loved him as he loved his own soul. All of these relationships with David are explored for us here in 1 Samuel chapter 18. But none in such detail as David's relationship with Saul. What began as love from King Saul for David quickly turned into a rage of jealousy, a rage of anger, and a rage of vindictive hatred toward David. When David stood before Saul after his defeat of Goliath, Saul may have loved him greatly in that moment, but it was only a matter of days before that love turned into looks that could kill. I have two notes here of outline, and then we're going to cover some very practical things as we go through it. So first of all, just notice with me what is the theme emphasis of this particular portion of Scripture, and that is the jealousy of Saul. The jealousy of Saul. We talked about the love and the friendship of Jonathan last week, and we ended the message by asking the question, would Saul respond the same way? Well, we're getting our answer. For Saul is not responding to David the same way that Jonathan did. In fact, he's responding with jealousy. That's the first point here, the jealousy of Saul. Notice how this unfolds. Look at verse number 6. And it came to pass as they came, that is the army, the military, particularly Saul and David, they returned from this battle against the Philistines where David killed Goliath, that the women, they came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing. They came to meet King Saul, and they had all kinds of instruments. There was joy, there was celebration, they were singing, they were playing music. In other words, a parade was taking place in the streets of Israel as they returned home from the battlefield. I was thinking of this week as I was trying to picture in my mind what this may have looked like, being the sports fan that I am. One of the big hopes that I had when the Panthers went to the Super Bowl a couple of years was that Charlotte could experience our first sports parade in the streets of Uptown Charlotte. You know, I was already kind of picking out my spot as the Broncos were playing the Panthers. I just knew I'm going to go down there on Tryon Street with my attire and my flags, and we're actually going to see our first championship parade. And we see these in other sports venues, whether you're a baseball, basketball, or football fan. It didn't work for us here, but maybe we'll get one of these days. And you'll see the streets are just lined up, crowded with people, and the athletes, they'll get on these big trucks, and sometimes they're huge fire trucks where they have the ladders where everybody can see them, and they're playing music, and they're dancing, and they're singing, all celebrating the victory that they accomplished. This is the scene of 1 Samuel chapter 18. People are coming out of the woodwork, so to speak, and they're celebrating the fact that Israel had won a battle over the Philistines, and that David slayed Goliath. But it was what they were singing that stirred up trouble in Saul's heart. Listen to the lyrics of this song that they were singing. Verse 7. So the women sang as they danced, and here's what they sang. This was the lyric of the song. Saul has slain his thousands. And David. Now this is interesting. Because Saul always liked the celebrations to be about him. But this celebration was not just about him. This was a parade, a celebration, a song that also included David. And of course, we've already learned that Saul has struggled to give recognition to others on this level. In fact, it was back in 1 Samuel chapter 13 that when his son, Jonathan, defeated the Philistines in that one-man initiated battle, it was Saul who literally, you go back and read it, you'll see this phrase. He blew his own trumpet, literally. He blew his own trumpet and took the glory for that which Jonathan actually did. And so while the people wanted to give glory to Jonathan, Saul made it appear like everything had happened because of his courage and his victorious fight in battle. And here we have an entire celebration that he's being forced to share glory with. Now, the fact that this parade included David in its accolade was extremely troubling to Saul, even when everyone knew that it was David who killed the giant, not Saul. For again, Saul did not like to share his glory with anyone, but it gets worse, because did you notice how they sang and what they sang? Because he's not only being forced to share the recognition, no, the song that they're singing in the streets is lifting up David not to equality. No, he's lifting up David over Saul. What did they say? Look at it again. They're in verse 7. Saul slayed 1,000. And the rest of the song says David killed tens of thousands, you know? So he's not only being forced to share his glory with David, they're actually singing a song that indicates that David is better than Saul. That's how good that he is. So when you see these, don't be confused by the numbers. I don't believe he's using this as literal language. He's not saying that David literally killed 10,000 people. He's not saying that Saul literally only killed 1,000. This is poetry. This is a song. It's a lyric describing the people's perception of David. And the song's perception indicating here again that David is better. David is better than Saul. Imagine, if you will, the impact this parade is having in Saul's heart as he himself begins to reflect on what Samuel had said to him earlier. It was all the way back in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 28 when the prophet Samuel came to Saul, and here's what he said. He said, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you this day, and he's given it to a neighbor of yours that is better than you." Better than you. That's what Samuel told Saul. "You may still be sitting on the throne, Saul, but I want you to know God has decided this day to take the kingdom away from you and away from your family, and he's going to give it to someone who is close to you who happens to be better than you are." I don't think Saul ever forgot that statement. Perhaps there was nights as he is rolling around in bed thinking of that. Better than you. Better than you. Better than you. Better than you. Who does Samuel think he is? There's no one better than me. And then he returns home from battle. And not only has a prophet said it, but now the entire nation, the women are singing and dancing to a song that says, David is better than you. David is better than you. David is better than you. This is where his jealousy begins to boil. Which leads me to the very first practical point of emphasis that I want you to consider here about jealousy tonight. Write this down. Number one, jealousy. You'll find this in your notes. Jealousy is the result of coveting the praise that someone else receives, the position that someone else has, or the possessions that someone else owns. That's what jealousy is. Jealousy is the result. Jealousy begins in our hearts. It is birthed in our minds as we begin to covet the praise that someone else gets. We covet the positions that someone else holds. We covet the possessions that someone else owns. And when we talk about possessions, I'm not talking about always the material possessions. My dad just recently put together a little John boat. And when I say little John boat, I mean a little John boat. Me and my brother and my dad were on it, and I was for sure we were tipping over with all three of us in this little John boat. But he wanted to christen it, so we went out and put it on Lake Wiley a couple of weeks ago, and here we are in our little John boat, very much as big as this little portion of the stage, and we're riding up and down, and we see all the bigger houses and the bigger boats. And every time a bigger boat compared to the John boat's a bass boat. So when the bigger boat is driving by, the waves off of the bigger boat are so bad, we're like holding on to make sure that we don't tip over halfway through it, you know. It's easy in those moments as we're riding around in the little John boat to look at the boats that they have and the houses that they live in and want that and covet that for ourselves. But when we're coveting someone else's possessions, it's not always just material. It could be coveting the gifts that God has given them that we do not possess. The skills, the intellect, the abilities that God has divinely given and entrusted to someone else. But in His divine sovereign purposes, He has chosen not to bestow that upon us. Even that type of jealousy over someone else's possessions is a very troubling aspect of our hearts. That's what's happening to Saul. David is getting the praise that Saul's not getting. He's rising in a position that Saul views as a threat to him. That's where jealousy begins. Look at verse number 8. And Saul was very angry at the song, the lyrics, the parade. It displeased him. And he said, listen, they've ascribed unto David 10,000. And to me, they've only ascribed thousands. And isn't it interesting what he says here? I'm not even sure he knows what he's saying. But he says, and what can he have more but the kingdom? It's almost as if he just says this off the top of his head, you know? Look at all this accolade, this praise, this parade, this song. I mean, the only thing he doesn't have is the kingdom. I'm really not sure at that moment Saul says this, that he actually understood that David was indeed the neighbor that was better than him. But his jealousy has certainly reached another level of evil. What he had seen and heard, he would not let go. David had become a threat to him, and it filled him with even deeper anger as it brewed in his soul what they were doing. Which leads me to the second very practical point about jealousy. Not only is jealousy the result of coveting what belongs to someone else, but jealousy, secondly, it empties our soul of love and joy. It empties our soul of love and joy, and it fills it with dark hatred and misery. No matter what you're jealous of, No matter what you're jealous of tonight, when jealousy comes into your heart, it will empty your soul of any love that you have for that person you're jealous of. It will empty your soul of any joy surrounding the gifts that God has given you. And it fills us with very dark hatred and misery. That's what's happening to Saul, because look at verse number 9. Saul eyed David from that day forward. If looks could kill. If looks could kill. Maybe the younger crowd don't understand that sentiment. It is a little older. It is to look at someone with so much anger that if looks could kill, then that person would be dead by the vitriol in which we just look at them. That's what's happening to Saul. And the author shows us how bad it had gotten with Saul in the very next verse. Look at it in verse number 10. It came to pass on the morning the next day that this evil spirit from God, it came upon Saul again. And here's what happened. We saw this back in chapter 16. Whenever the evil spirit would come upon Saul, David would play his musical instruments and it would minister to Saul. It would help him. And that's what he's doing in this particular situation. David played with his hand as he had so many times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand. Think of the contrast. There's a musical instrument in David's hand, a harp. And there's a deadly weapon in Saul's. And twice, verse 11 says, look at it. Twice Saul throws the spear at David, intending to kill him. Let's go back to the practical point. Jealousy brings dark hatred. It makes our lives so miserable that we move into realms and actions that we never thought we would. Now, I don't know if any of you have that bad of a boss. I know some of you have some bad bosses. No amens from the front or the back. I don't know why y'all sit in the back all the time. Hey, you may have a bad boss, but I guarantee you this. You've never had your boss try to kill you. Most likely. Here David is working from Saul, and Saul is so jealous of him. Every day he holds the spear in his hands, looking at him, waiting for the right moment. He gets filled with so much anger and hatred and jealousy that ever so often he just lunges that spear his direction, intending to take him out. Of course he fails. In fact, there are two failed attempts according to this text. He fails to take him out, and in so doing, Saul just makes the decision that he's going to remove David from his presence. He's going to remove him from his court, and he's going to give him what some has described as a demotion. Look at the language here in verse 13. Therefore, Saul removed him from him. That means Saul removed David from his presence. He said, get out of here. I'm trying to kill you, and I can't even kill you. I want you to go. Just go away. And he removes him from his presence, and he made him captain over 1,000. Now, why would people say this is a demotion? Because verse 13 says David is now a captain over 1,000. But in verse 1, when he came back immediately, Saul made David the captain over all the men of war, over everybody. Now he's demoted him. He's belittled him. He's put him in a spot that not only tears him down mentally, or at least he's intending to, but this particular job here, think of it. It's not just the demotion. This particular job, Bible scholars tell us, would have put David in a more vulnerable position with the enemy nations during battle. In other words, David was now in a position that when they go to war, he would most likely die sooner. It's as if Saul's mentality is this. I'm not a very good spear thrower, but I'm going to put him in a position where if the Philistines come knocking again, they'll take him out for me. Which leads me to the third very practical point. Write down number three. Jealousy lashes out in attitudes and actions that intend to hurt and destroy others. Jealousy lashes out in attitudes and actions that intend to hurt and destroy others. Let's get very practical tonight. Because there are many people, I believe, in this room who are nurturing, hateful, jealous, and resentful thoughts. And your attitudes and actions are as dangerous as Saul's spear. No, you may not be walking around your house today with a spear in your hand as Saul was, but you do walk around with things like a phone in your hand. Using that phone to hurt and destroy others by the things that you say, that you text, that you post. It may not be a spear, but these words are going to turn suddenly into regretful actions unless you repent of your jealousy and seek the Lord. This example shows us that jealousy is a soil from which all kinds of wicked and evil behaviors grow. Jealousy is the soil by which all kinds of evil and wicked behaviors grow. Listen to James chapter 3 and verse 16. He says, where jealousy and self-seeking or self-promotion exist, where jealousy and self-promotion exist, there, every evil thing is. In other words, if your heart is jealous, right there in your heart, beside jealousy, is every opportunity for wickedness and evil to be acted upon. And why is that the case? Because listen to me very carefully. Jealousy is demonic. I read verse 16, but let me tell you what James 3:15 says. It calls jealousy earthly, fleshly, and demonic. Demonic. That is, when we get jealous of the praise someone else has, the position someone else owns, possession someone else owns, or the positions someone else has, when that root of jealousy begins to spring up in our hearts, that wisdom is not coming from God. It is coming from Satan. Which is why it is in the heart of jealousy the most vile and wicked actions take place. Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all people. Pursue peace with all people. Holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble. And by this many become defiled. So we come to verse 12 and we see something that catches our attention. Look at it. And Saul was afraid of David. Does that not cause you to puzzle for just a moment? Because when I read that, I'm thinking about it. Saul was afraid of David. It's Saul who's lunging the spears in David's direction. Shouldn't it say, now David was afraid of Saul? But it doesn't. It says that Saul was afraid of David. And here's the reason why. Look at verse 12. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. Now that Hebrew phrase that says in our English Bibles that Saul was afraid of David, it literally means he dreaded his face. He dreaded his face. Now you don't have to confess tonight. But has there ever been a person in your life or a relationship that you've had that you've thought, I just do not want to see their face? Because if I see their face, something bad's going to happen. This is what Saul's heart toward David was. I don't even want to see his face. And you know why I don't want to see his face? Because the Lord is with him. You You see, now it's by this time. I don't think he knew it a moment ago when he was celebrating in the parade, thinking we might as well just take the kingdom. He's getting everything else. I don't think Saul knew it then, but I think he knows it now. I think he's finally come to understand, or at least suspect, that David might be the man after God's own heart. The neighbor whom Samuel said was better than him. The man whom God had chosen to be king. You see, the Lord was with David. And as a result, Saul couldn't even stand to look at him. You know why he couldn't stand to look at him? Because the Lord wasn't with him. Which leads me to the fourth very practical point about jealousy. Look at this. This is so important. If you miss anything I've said tonight, don't miss this. Because some of you, this is going to dramatically change your feelings toward others. If you get this right. Number four, jealousy is more about our attitude toward God than it is our attitude toward others. Jealousy is more about our attitude toward God than it is our attitude toward others. This is Saul's problem. It's not so much David, it's God he has a problem with. Because every blessing, every success that David is experiencing in these moments, it's because God chose for that to be on David's life when he chose to remove himself from Saul's life. The heart of Saul's jealousy was not who David was, but it was who God was and what God had done and what God had chosen for him. You see, tonight, every single one of us are prone to hearts of jealousy. Understand this. Every single one of us are prone to hearts of jealousy. We're sinners. And if you say that you have no sin, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. I am a sinner, you are a sinner, and that means we're all prone to have hearts of jealousy. In our fallen nature, we are capable to think and feel and act out in jealous ways toward those people who ought to be our friends. To those who ought to be our fellow servants of Christ. But we want what they have so badly that we can't even look them in the eye. We're jealous primarily because of what God has bestowed upon him and which he has not chosen to bestow upon us. Jealousy destroys marriages. Listen to me. Jealousy destroys marriages. Jealousy separates friends. Jealousy splits churches. Jealousy divides colleagues. Jealousy invites the evil work of darkness into our lives. You see, when these attitudes begin to surface, we have to confess them. We have to repent of these things in prayer to God and kill it, mortify our flesh. Kill jealousy as we seek to live in love and wisdom toward one another. You see, some of you are brooding tonight. I know. Because I've had moments of brooding myself. Yeah. I'd like to live in that. I'd like to drive that. My friend over here is building a new building. How come God hadn't let us build a new building yet? I mean, Simon has the accent. I mean, everybody loves him. And I can barely even say my words. I wish I could talk like Simon talked. Well, we could go on and on and on. And when we do not confess it for what it is, that it is sin, that it is demonic, that it is wicked, what happens is we begin to brood and sit on that. And that brooding, listen to me, that brooding is going to be your ultimate undoing. Unless you bring it to the cross of Christ and lay it down before Him. 1 Samuel 18 is filled with a lot of contrast between Saul and David. Think of it. The Lord is with David, but has departed from Saul. David has a musical instrument in his hand, a musical instrument of peace, and Saul has a deadly weapon of anger in his hand. Saul is behaving foolishly. David is behaving wisely. We could go on and on. But let me close with a few observations about, secondly, the character of David. We've looked at the jealousy of Saul, but let's close here with the character of David. Because it's important not only to deal with the jealousy that is in our hearts, it is equally important that we respond when someone else's jealousy is lashed out against us. That we respond the right way. I wrote down here in my notes that repetition is always in the Bible for emphasis. And there are three things in this particular text that is repeated to emphasize the humble and godly character of David, especially in light of the fact that he was on the receiving end of Saul's evil jealousy. Have you ever been on the receiving end of jealousy? Maybe it's a mother-in-law that's jealous of the time that you won't give her. Maybe it's a child that's jealous of the attention that they may not think they receive. An employee, an employer, we could go on and on and on. I think there have been moments in most all of our lives where we're on the receiving end of jealousy. How do we respond when someone is lashing out in such vindictive hatred and anger and jealousy toward us? Three quick things that David did that reveal his character. Number one, he behaved wisely. He behaved wisely. Look at verse 5. David went out wherever Saul sent him. And wherever Saul sent him, he behaved wisely. Verse 14, and David behaved wisely in all his ways. Not in just some of them. Not just when the people were looking. No, David behaved wisely in everything that he did. Again, we see it repeated. Look at verse 15. And Saul saw that he behaved very wisely. There's an entire sermon here, right? I have habits in my study. I have probably about 1,000 different folders that help organize my sermon thoughts. And one folder that I have is potential sermons for youth conferences. And I drug this section over into that file because if the Lord allows me to speak to a bunch of teenagers one day, we're going to speak on this phrase of behaving wisely in all our ways. There's an entire sermon here, right? We got to ask the question, though, what does it look like to behave wisely? Listen again, James 3:16, but the wisdom that is from above, okay, wisdom for living, wise behavior, that type of living, here's what it looks like. Evaluate yourself. It's pure. Wise behavior is pure. It is peaceable. That means my relationships are one where peace is the goal. I am gentle, that's the third word. Wisdom for life, the wisdom that is from above, behaving wise, it's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle with others. And notice this next phrase. It's willing to yield. Willing to yield. What do you want to do tonight, sweetheart? No, it's wherever you want to eat. Wherever you want to eat. It's wherever you want to go. It's whatever you want to do. Willing to yield. Willing to suspect that maybe my conclusions are not always right and I am willing to yield to someone else. That's wise behavior. Not stubborn. Not independent. Not my way or the highway. No, a willingness to yield to others. Oh, y'all want me to keep reading the verse or you want me to stop right there? Look at the next phrase. Full of mercy. Full of mercy. Wise behavior forgives. It is merciful to those who enact wrongdoings against us. I heard someone say this today and I thought it was so good. He said, we ought to rejoice in the fact that the blood of Christ forgives us of all our sins. Amen? But we equally rejoice that the blood of Christ gives us the ability to forgive the sins that have been sinned against us. In other words, the blood of Christ doesn't work one way.
It's not just for the forgiveness of my sins. It's to give me the ability to forgive others who have sinned against me. That's wise behavior. Full of mercy. He goes on. I got to hurry. Full of good fruits. Without partiality or jealousy. Without hypocrisy. Listen, let's summarize it like this. To behave wisely is to be like Jesus. Just be like Jesus. That's what David did. Wherever Saul sent him, he behaved wisely. When the spear was coming his way, he behaved wisely. Write down number two. He continued to serve those who hated him. And I put in parentheses in my notes, you'll not find it in yours. I put in here, and also under oppressive circumstances. Verse 10, David played music with his hand as he did when? At other times. So while there's a spear in Saul's hand, David kept doing what he always did. In fact, verse 15 tells us that this has not just happened once and David refused to go back. No, the spear has already been thrown and David went back and then it was thrown again. And what did David do? He went back. Verse 13 tells us that when he was demoted, when he was put in the vulnerable position where his life could end early, what did he do? David went out and he came in before the people. He did his job. Verse 16 again. He went out and he came in before them. Verse 5. So David went out wherever Saul sent him and he behaved wisely. This point reminds me once again of Jesus. Do you remember what Peter said of Jesus in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 23? Who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously. David, when the spear was thrown his way, didn't throw a spear back. And then write down number three. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. Verse 12, very clear. The Lord was with him. Verse 14, the Lord is with him. All of these things are there for repetition. This is not even the first time, that is in chapter 18, that we even see this about David. You could go back to 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse number 18 and listen what the scripture says. Then one of the servants answered and said, look, I've seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehem who's skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, handsome person, and the Lord is with him. Church, this is the key to David's blessing. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. And this ought to be the greatest desire of our life. That the Lord's hand of favor would not be against us, but with us. How do I respond at those jealous, anger, vindictive, hateful people who seem to come against me week after week after week after week? Just keep behaving wisely. Just keep serving the people who hate you, even if your life is currently under oppressive circumstances. Don't pick up the spear. Pick up the harp. Bless them who persecute you. Love them who hate you. Do good unto them who despitefully use you. And live your life every day asking God to be with you. It's polarization, isn't it? David behaved wisely. Saul behaved foolishly. David served those who oppressed him. Saul oppressed those who served him. The Lord was with David. The Lord had departed from Saul. So since we've opened up 1 Samuel 18, we've seen Jonathan's relationship with David, the people's relationship with David, now Saul's relationship with David. Next week we'll see Michael's relationship with David. There's more relationships to explore, but I want to close with this question. Okay, listen carefully and we're done. I didn't get to preach Sunday, so I took a few extra minutes. We see the people, Saul, Jonathan, all of their relationship with David. Let me ask you a question tonight. How is your relationship with the son of David? There's the example of Jonathan, which is love, commitment, abdication of rights, laying down what legally belonged to him and yielding himself to the anointed one. Then there's the response of Saul, right? Jealousy, bitterness, hatred, anger. It's a wonderful picture of people's responses to Jesus Christ. Are you jealous of God tonight? Because of what He's doing for someone else that you want to be done for you? Has it grown into anger toward Him? Have you reached the level where you're borderline hateful toward God? Or like Jonathan, love, yieldedness, commitment. We have to ask ourselves, how is our relationship with the Son of David? Which leads us, as the great commandment says, to ask ourselves how our relationship is with others. The greatest command is to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, souls, and mind. The second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. How is your relationship with the Son of David? How is your relationship with others? How is your love for God? How is your love for others? So many things to consider, isn't it? Well, let me just say this and we'll pray. May God help every one of us to repent tonight of our jealousy and to love others as Christ loved us. For remember, an attitude of jealousy is not so much an attitude toward others as it is an attitude toward God. Well, let's bring these things before Christ. Let's stand together for prayer tonight.